Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for August 4th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and joining me in cyberspace and looking cool while he does it is Jim Allen. What's happening, man? You're in shorts and t-shirt. It must be a little bit warm over there on your side of Tokyo.
It's warm on all sides of Tokyo tonight. I just came out of a nice cool shower.
You took a cold shower?
In the summer I do usually, yeah.
That's the worst thing you can do.
I love it.
No, you gotta take a hot shower so that when you get out, your body cools off. What's that?
I said I'm a cheapskate. I like not firing up the gas.
Oh boy.
And I love the cold shower in the summer. What can I say? I'm weird.
All right. I'll say that. I'll double that. All right.
What are you betting on me? First you're trying to trade me and then you're trying to bet me. Actually, you were trying to trade me, but that's a long story. We'll save that for another day.
All right. On this week's show, we've got an interview with Mitchell Abreu of the Nippon Ham Fighters, and we're going to understand why he got deactivated today. And then we're going to discuss the top rookies and more. So let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
Okay, so you got some trivia for me.
I have trivia for you. I was thinking this week, it's always too hard. It's too hard. I'll emulate you. And I remember the one that you asked NPB Tracker earlier this year.
About who led the league in infield singles.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Who had the most, I believe it was. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give you what active player with at least 2,500 plate appearances in Japan strikes out the least currently?
See, if that were last year, I would have said Shinya Miyamoto, and it would have been easy because he was the guy. But this year, who strikes out the least? The active player who strikes out the least.
Yeah, I mean,
I like this. This is a good question.
Do you? Okay, I'm not that fond of it, but I figured you might like it, so let's go with that.
And it has to be a guy who obviously is a contact hitter, not known for striking out. And I'm going to say Yuya Hasegawa.
He might not qualify with 2,500 plate appearances.
The career, but 2,500 plate appearances.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. He might know. Obviously, he's not the answer, so I'll take one more shot. 2,500 plate appearances. Shinnosuke Abe.
No. Okay. The answer is Seichi Uchikawa.
Oh. I had the right team at first.
You did indeed. Darn. Who has, I'm going to say what day is today. We're recording Sunday, and I have the data in my database through Saturday. In his career, he struck out 516 times in 4,289 plate appearances.
Wow, yeah.
Which is like basically 10 full seasons.
Yeah, nice.
So 52 times in 144 games. Okay, just a little bonus answers, not questions. Foreigner, because I don't want to risk John's wrath again.
You don't want to upset me again.
The
producer.
The foreigner who strikes out the least often with that many plate appearances.
Who's still active. Oh, you're telling me it's
I thought you might have a name, Matt Merton.
I was not going to guess Matt Merton, but I was going to try to come up with a name, but I remembered that this was an answer, not a question.
Yeah. We're not on Jeopardy yet.
So Matt, that's awesome.
Who is Matt Merton is the proper question.
I'm sorry. Who is Matt Merton?
And this batter strikes out the most in Japan, and who is Takeya Nakamura?
Takeya Nakamura. Oh, interesting. Interesting. No, I wouldn't actually, because he's such a great power hitter, I guess it's not such a stretch, but then again, he makes contact, so he hits a lot of long fly balls, so I wouldn't have thought him either. So, interesting. Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. I like that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Even though you got me, I like the new information. I like getting to know different things about different players. So I realized that Uchikawa is one of those guys who's really hard to strike out. But like I said, Shinya Miyamoto was always high on the list of making contact. And he's the only one I thought about. And since he retired after last year, I didn't think about who would be next right. on that list. So that was good. That's good. Excellent work.
Okay. So I went out to Chiba the other day and had a really good day. I didn't talk to everybody I wanted to talk to, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Did miss Sho Nakata. Well, that's sort of a misstatement. I didn't really want to talk to Sho Nakata, but I did want to get information out of him. I always kind of wonder what our conversation would be like.
It'd be like, hey, that's a nice chain, and what do you use to color your hair? those are good conversation starters with him.
I guess. I once asked Nobuhiko Matsunaka about his phaeton chain, and he took it the wrong way, and he didn't talk to me again for about 8 years.
Well, he holds a grudge like he does I guess.
Pretty much. Squeezing it till he gets sawdust right now.
Right.
Okay, so anyway, I went out and I talked to Michelle Obrey. So many things I wanted to ask him, and much of which is unfortunately not in the interview because I was doing that for a story,
mm-hmm.
Basically about different things and this and that. But what intrigued me about him is he made this enormous splash last year with the Fighters.
Mm.
He came out of Mexico where he was easily the best hitter in the Mexican League in 2012. So he made that adjustment right off the bat. He went from Cuba. He was a former MVP in the Serie Nacional, the Cuban League. And he blew out the minor leagues and blew out AA. And then he just sort of fell apart in AAA. Now, what I had noticed, and this is obvious in the interview, was that he missed a year in his career, in his minor league career,
mm-hmm.
between AA and AAA.
Right.
And there lies the story. So I was curious about the adjustments he had made, you know, to do so well at AA and to do so well in Mexico and do so well in Japan, but missed AAA, and he's going to tell you about that. And anyways, an all-around nice guy, and It's always a pleasure to talk with him. So let's hear what Michelle Abreu has to say.
Our guest this week is Michelle Abreu of the Nippon Ham Fighters. Thank you for being on our show.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it for the time. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you just come back. You had a spinal hernia?
Hernia, yeah.
Okay.
Hernia.
And how's your health right now?
Today, you know, they put me chopped in my back, so I have to wait. So day by day,
okay.
So you never know when, you know, coming back the pain. So
right.
The doctor had to check him every day. So
today you have to have an injection?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How often are you getting the injections? Every week or once
or
twice a week?
Yeah, yeah. Some three injections, one a week. One a week.
Painful?
Sort of a little bit.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Have you done that before in your career?
Never.
Never. Were you a little nervous about that?
Yeah, very, very nervous. Yeah, lost the half of the season, you know,
right.
That reason. So, you know, it's not good. You know, last year, very, very good year for me.
Right.
So this year, I can play, you know, half the season. You never know when the pain coming back. So, it's, you know, it's a little bit nervous about that.
But how did it feel in your first game back for the big team?
Excited because, you know, everybody waiting for me, so the team, they want to help you, you know, they doing good this year. The third place, maybe go pass for the, you know, playoffs, so they waiting for me. So I'll be excited the first game, you know.
Okay. Now, and then you hit the home run with your second game back?
Yes, second home run. I'm not looking for home run, just
right.
Try to get in my time, you know, get a contact. So, but when it's coming, you know, appreciate it, but I'm happy for that. Yeah.
So kind of fortunate.
Yeah.
Your timing is not 100% yet?
No. I don't have time yet. So I played only three games in minor league, and they call up some six games in the row right now. So
well, you're doing like the Spain over there.
Yeah.
Throwing right in.
Yeah. It's try to, you know, it's not easy hitting here because pitcher have good control,
right.
A lot of pitches, you know, breaking balls, play everything, you know, they throw everything, curveball. Using both sides of the home plate, so it's, you have to be ready to.
When you're coming back, well, of course, you haven't had this experience coming back before, but maybe you're thinking, just throw me fastball, just throw me fastball.
Yeah. They try to, you know, they remember last year, but they try to know how I feel, how I swing it. Right. So they throw me fastball out, but after that, they throw me breaking ball, throw me everything. Yeah.
Okay. Now, after you left Cuba, you signed in the United States. And you played, you did really, really well at AA.
Yeah.
And AAA was kind of a tough adjustment for you.
Yeah.
And then you're in Mexico because you didn't make the adjustment to AAA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you come to Japan and you made the adjustments very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Is the difference you're more mature or?
I think the last year in Mexico.
You had a great year.
Good year for me, so I try to keep in that because I play so many leagues in Mexico, winter league.
All right.
You know, 1 month I'm coming here.
Okay.
So I continue, you know, hitting, you know, in the game. So it's a little bit different, Mexico and Japan.
Okay.
You know, it's more quality here. But I think I helped that, you know, I play all year.
Because you were only taking 1 month off.
Yeah.
That helped.
Yeah.
So this year you had a long way off.
Yeah, so the other reason is I play all spin training, you know.
Okay.
Every game I play, so when the season started, I was in shape. I was, you know, like maybe 50 at-bat take in spin training, so I was ready when the season started.
And when did the back trouble hit you? During the spring training?
The second half, I played my pain, but in the second half, you know. I have 21 home run in my first half, and so another 10 in the second half. So I play every day.
Last year,
but I have a little pain. So it's going up. When I finish the season, it's terrible.
Okay. Yeah. So part of last year, maybe you played too much last year.
Yeah. I play everything. So the big problem is the turf, you know.
All right.
It's the first time I play turf. All right. Natural grass in the state, in Mexico, in Cuba. So coming here, I'm playing turf. And I pound 245 pounds, so it's very heavy for me, for my body, you know?
Right. Yeah. Now, as far as adjusting, because you know, you said it was because you were playing so much, you made the adjustment to Japanese baseball really, really well.
Yeah.
And that's quite remarkable.
Yeah.
So what happened? If you think of, you must think sometimes, how come I couldn't do this when I was in 3A?
Mm.
Because obviously you're a player of quality. You had you know, MVP in Cuba.
Yeah.
And you had to think, I can play in the majors.
Yeah.
So in AAA, if you think back, was there some issue that
the,
you...
That happened is when I played in AA,
right.
2006.
Yeah.
If you check the number, 07, I no play.
Oh, okay.
I no play because I don't have paper regulation already.
Okay.
So I lost all year.
You lost entire season?
Yeah, entire season. So I played 08. So no play anywhere because can play winter ball because I don't have any paper for go United States out.
Oh,
so.
Is it because of a visa issue? Or?
Yeah, the green card.
A green card?
Yeah, green card. So I have to wait 1 year for getting the green card.
So, okay, so you had 2007, you had the year, you had to take a year off?
Yeah.
And then, how was that coming back after 1 year?
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's very hard. It's another league, you know.
Right. And then you changed to a different team? They changed to different leagues.
Yeah, it's different league, yeah.
Because the Mets changed their AAA team, yeah?
No, differently, no. You know, you have AA or AAA.
Okay.
Spin training I do in AAA, but it's not about the same when you spin training, you know, when the league started. So I started very slow.
Okay.
I finished good because I finished 280, 50 home run, and almost 70 in RBI. The Augusto, I hit in 4 home run and almost 400 the average.
Okay.
So I finished very strong.
Okay.
But I started slow.
And then the next year, what happened?
So, I don't play every day.
Yeah.
You know, they signed Gary Sheffield, outfielder.
Gary Sheffield. This is the Mets, yeah?
Yeah, Mets. I think, I don't know what team released him.
But he got playing time ahead of you?
And they signed Gary Sheffield.
Okay.
And they
Gary Sheffield.
Yeah, Gary Sheffield. And they signed Nicky Evans for AAA.
Right.
still play to play third base. So me, I
Nick
know.
Evans is coming for Rockton.
Yeah, somebody told me that.
Yeah.
So they put Nicky Evans in third base, and I don't play every day. So
okay.
Not good for me.
Okay.
Because play one or two times a week. Not good. You know, the timing's gone.
So just now, if you had to go back and you could change something, would you be more patient, or how would you deal with that? Could you deal with that situation better now? When you were in AAA?
I think that my opinion, you mm-hmm. know, I have a good, very good year in AA.
Right.
You know, leave the position, 239, or leave MVP, right. Everything. My opinion is that they give me chance to play.
You think so?
Yeah, because I don't know in September, but they give me, you know, have to give me opportunity for play mm-hmm. in big league, and okay. they don't give me the opportunity.
They didn't call you up in September.
No, they not call me up. So doing, so it for me not good. You know, my
motivation.
Like, yeah, motivation is down because everybody say, hey, you go.
You should go, yeah.
Yeah, see you in September. I never coming up, so wow, it's not good. The next year, I lost all day, all year, in choosing the, you know, Mex in Florida.
Right, right.
The complex, all year, no place, so
okay.
No good for me, no.
So you got a chance to play in Mexico, and you kind of found yourself again. You got to play a lot in Mexico.
Yeah, different thing.
You played for three different teams in Mexico, or two?
Two. Yeah. The Marlins, they want to sign me
uh-huh.
for when the Mets released me,
mm-hmm.
but I say no because my motivation was not good, so I prefer I went to the Mexico.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So
that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Yeah. Principal, the salary,
okay.
not good, you know, and the Marlins not give me good salary. In Mexico, very good salary.
Okay.
I was thinking coming to Japan, you
okay.
know, because everybody told me, hey, you got good things in Japan, in Mexico, maybe you come to Japan. It's very hard for you now in the state. So think about it. She said, okay, you know.
How important, you know, when the Marlins wanted you, but a low salary, and the how important is it that you felt the Mexican team really wanted you to play for them?
In this moment, I need money.
Right.
That's the reason, you know.
Oh, okay.
I have a small baby, my daughter,
okay.
I have my wife, you know,
right.
I know they're coming up. So
okay.
the money they offer to me is not good for me. The money offer Mexico good to me,
okay.
so I decide to go over there. So.
Because if the Marlins, you're going to be in minor leagues, and you don't
minor league, have to wait, you know, couple,
okay.
two, three guys, you know, Triple A, big league. So you have to, something happen before I go to big league.
Okay, now I'm going to skip ahead, and now so many players are coming to Japan and having success, and the times have changed. Now major league teams are thinking, oh, he did that in Japan. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go back if you get a chance?
No. I prefer to retire here. You know.
Okay.
You know, I know when you pass the 30-year-old
right.
in the state, it's too old for.
Especially
for
if it's never been.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a hard adjustment.
Yeah. So they every year change. You know, they sign a more young player and. You pass 30 years, you know, spending in big league, you like, you know, play every day. So I think that I prefer to retire here.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us this week.
All right. Well, thank you, Michelle. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for taking your time. He had to, I don't know, I got cut off at the end, but I wasn't being short in my appreciation.
No. I understand. You're moving on to your interview for the story, and I'll be looking forward to reading that. So yeah, it wasn't me really cut you off. It was you.
It was me talking too much. Wow, what a shock that would be. Stop the presses. Okay, so what did you take from that? That had very little to do with the fighters.
Yeah, well, it was good. First of all, it was a good interview. I really enjoyed listening to it, and it was a great talk. And, you know, what he goes through to get on the field, obviously, it was apparent. And like I said, now we know why he was deactivated. The answer to your first question, he says, today I feel good. And that told us a lot. And then, I was surprised, you know, I'm very much allergic to needles. They kind of make me break out of rooms. break out of whatever I'm in.
That's what it was. It wasn't the blood. It was the needles.
Yeah, I don't.
He said the blood didn't bother you, and I kept thinking about blood tests when we used to get our checkups at the Daily O'Meara, and I'd see John just kind of like
pale,
looking really squeamish.
Yeah, squeamish and pale. That would be when they're going to stick me with a needle, and I don't want to see it go in. I wish I couldn't feel it. But anyway, we're not talking about me. Yeah, him taking shots and whatever he's going through to get back on the field and still try to be productive. And I remember last season when his home runs just went away.
Mm.
And, you know, Shohei Nakata had gotten hurt. He had the home run title all to himself. He was, you know, basically he didn't have much competition, but he couldn't get the ball over the fence. And I wondered why. And so it's great to hear.
Mm.
To get some insight, because we talked to Willie Mopeña earlier, or at least I did on the sidelines. We haven't done an interview with him yet, but talked to him earlier this season, and he said, look, I had a bad wheel. I had a bad knee, and that's why I wasn't able to do much last year, and it's fixed now, and that's why I'm hitting. And I was hoping to hear another success story about Abreu coming back and being healthy, at least healthy enough to play out there and have a shot to help the team, because obviously, and he said something that gets back to what I've said in the past, is that, look, certain players look for him to carry a big load, and they're waiting for him to come back. They've been treading water or doing what they can to get by, but they need one of these big boppers to come out there and be consistent for him. So he was looking forward to coming back. The rest of the players were looking forward to him coming back, and so he ends up getting deactivated again. But like I said, the whole interview was really good. I think I could talk about it for the whole night. And I look at him and what that lineup looks like without him, as opposed to with the guy who was productive in the first half of last season. And to think that that team is in third place makes me wonder what it could be had he been there from the start of the season, and if he can get back and be healthy in the second part of the season. So he was out of the lineup Friday and Saturday this past weekend when they didn't do so well against the Hawks. And yeah, I got word on the MPB Twitter feed this morning that he'd been taken off the roster. And
right.
Yeah. As for turning down an MLB offer, though, I think, you know,
it was a minor league offer.
It was a minor league offer. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember Tyrone Woods had an MVP caliber season in 2006. I guess that's the way I'll word that. Of course, in my mind,
it was an MVP caliber season.
Well, in my mind, it was an MVP season. But anyway, he said he had a lucrative offer, and I won't mention the team, but from a team back in the States. And he said he turned it down to stay in Japan. And he said the same thing. Basically, that Abreu is saying is that, look, I had a successful gig here. I was comfortable. The money was good. And why go back home and face all the stress? And, Tyrone said he had been labeled as one of the guys who couldn't hit major league pitching. And I just think he was really happy to come back here into something that he was familiar with and a place that he was cozy with. And so that's one thing. And then, not to disparage your question, because I think we in the media, we always want to find a reason for lack of productivity or lack of success. And sometimes it might not all be about adjustments. And obviously,
sure,
you kind of went on the assumption that that he wasn't able to make the adjustment.
Right.
And then he gave the information. And I probably would have come to the same conclusion. So I'm not saying anything disparaging about the question that you asked, but you know, he said he had issues with documents, and I'm thinking, wow, that happens, you know, more than we think probably. But for a whole season, I'm wondering why they couldn't come up with something to get him done, at least to play half the season.
Yeah, why did he have to spend the entire season at the Mets, single A, Florida League spring training complex?
Yeah.
I don't understand, but I don't know what, if it had to do with his, with his exodus from Cuba. I don't know what that was about, or there might have been some issue with that, in terms of that came up later.
After he played already. Yeah. Cause you would think if there was an issue, he wouldn't have gotten to play at all from the start. And then,
well, unlike a lot of the Cubans, he didn't go to, he went straight to the United States. Now, I don't know if that affected it or not, but it does certainly make things more difficult.
Right.
So, anyway, so yeah, that was, oh, go ahead.
No, I went all over the place. I'm just wondering what was the thing that stood out for you because you were talking to him.
Well, I think for me, well, a couple of things is, you know, as you said, there's a lot of things that are obviously they're right in front of your eyes and you don't see them. And, you know, the fact that he was hurting last year and with the the artificial turf, especially, and I'm going to say basically, yeah, the Pacific League teams, their artificial surfaces are pretty lousy.
Yeah.
And I'll say that about the Swallows as well, where it's, I was talking to Tony Barnett about this and they don't take care of the artificial turf the way they do at Tokyo Dome.
Mm.
You know, because it's outside and they play so much baseball on those fields.
Yeah, the young high school kids and college kids are playing a lot of ball out there. Yeah.
So, Yokohama's actually, I think it's in better shape than Jingu. Jingu's not in good shape. Chiba's not in good shape. The Sapporo Dome, I don't think, is in good shape. Fukuoka Dome is not in good shape. I don't know, Kyocera Dome, I haven't been there in a while, I can't say, but Tokyo Dome takes really good care of their artificial surface. It is very much last, but it's not, still not. And I mentioned this to Wayne Grasick on Saturday when I went out to Tokyo Dome, and he said, you know, Leslie Anderson of the Giants told him exactly the same thing. His back hurts. He's not a real big guy. He's an average. He probably doesn't weigh 200 pounds.
Mm.
And he's very slender. And he said, but he's not used to playing in domes, which is understandable, and he's not used to playing on artificial turf because he spent his whole entire minor league career in the Eastern League. I think it's Eastern League where Durham plays.
Uh-huh.
It's at the International League. I mean, it might be the International League now. But it's all dirt and grass. And then, of course, in Cuba, it's all dirt and grass. And coming to Japan where it's asphalt. And then and Tokyo Dome has probably has the best surface in Japan as far as artificial surfaces go. So that's a problem. And, you know, it's obvious, what's going on is we don't know, although it's a very simple answer. The other thing, speaking of simple things and obvious things, and you touched on this, is that, you know, the whole reason, of, you know, why'd you go to Mexico? Well, the obvious one, I got a family.
Yeah.
I got to feed my family, man. You know, it's like, it's so obvious and it's so important. And I remember the story of Colby Lewis. When he went back to the Texas Rangers, somebody asked him, or might have been before that, he said, do you feel pressure, you know, coming up to the major league, coming back to the major leagues after you were in Japan? He says, no, pressure is telling your pregnant wife we're moving to Japan.
Right.
And I don't know where I'm going or what, I don't know how secure it's going to be.
Yeah.
The family is so, you know, decisions about what's best for you and what's best for your family are usually the number one thing. And we sometimes forget about that and, you know, oh, minor league contract with the Marlins versus Mexico, you know, oh, okay.
Right.
But, obviously that's a critical thing because, you know, where are you going to play? Where are you going to play? And with the Mets, he had the same situation. You know, he performed like crazy, but he didn't quite fit into their plans when they needed him to fit into their plans.
Yeah, and he talked about the fact that, you know, the guys like Gary Sheffield and is it Mickey Evans?
No, Nick Evans.
Nick Evans.
The guy Rocktan just signed. He called him Mickey Evans.
Yeah, that's why I thought. I'm like, what? And, but, yeah, so Nick Evans, I mean, if there's guys ahead of you or there are guys even beside you who you have to compete with to get the job, and they look at the ages of these guys and the potential and the ceiling, they're going to play the guy who's younger, who they think they can spend more time developing rather than pick up a guy who is what, I mean, this is what they like to say, he is what he is at this age.
Right, and with, as I mentioned, with in Abreu's case, it's that he's never played in the major leagues. That's another adjustment we'll have to be making at 32, and that's very, very hard. The older, you know, this is what a lot of the Japanese position players face when they go over to the majors when they're 30 years old. It's a very different game to learn when you're not a young puppy.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that was quite, quite interesting for me to hear his story, and there's so much more to that story, and I'm gonna, you know, try to get some more out of it. But we did talk a little bit about this and that, and basically to put it succinctly, what he said about players coming from Cuba, he said, look, you know, they're coming from Cuba now because people think the position players over there can hit.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that the guys like Cepeda and Despain and Gurriel can come over here and play it at very, you know, at essentially no cost, you know, no risk,
mm-hmm.
Is so wonderful. He's so happy for them. Somebody asked me if he was, you know, he might be bitter because he's not, you know, they're making much more money than he is. But he said he was so happy for them because, and he said, because their families and their relatives are going to need that money in Cuba, where times are very hard.
Mm.
So he says this is going to make it better for a lot of people.
That's good. I mean, obviously that's a noble position to hold, but also I would think that anybody who makes it there, obviously he's got children and relatives. Maybe somebody else can make it. You know, they're opening the path for more players to come here. So I think it's just a new door that can open. And I mean, we have such a huge influx this year, but we can, you know, if they can speak enough English to be on our show, or if they can speak enough English to be on other shows and promote the sport over here. Because obviously when he said, look, you come over here and the quality is higher than it is in Mexico, I kind of was surprised for him to hear him say that. But, you know, we want to think that that's the case, certainly with the World Baseball Classic and the way Japan has performed there. But it's a great compliment to Japanese baseball and to Japanese players for him to say that. So obviously they can promote the sport and promote and actually help Japan gain respect, and Japanese baseball gain respect. So yeah, it's a win-win situation for everybody, except for the maybe some of the American players or players from other parts of the country who think they can come here and leave the major leagues and come here and get a job. You know, maybe some of these Cuban players are going to be holding more positions and teams.
Speaking about that, we had a listener's question a little while back, and I just recalled that the was at the players union meeting a couple of weeks ago at the end of it, and they were basically ripping into this idea of allowing more and more foreigners to come into Japan because it's going to take jobs away from Japanese guys. What a surprise.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
Get better. Well,
indeed. That was also part of the issue. They want to combat that. They want to, right now there's a big inequality in Japan in the number of games played at the minor league level.
Right.
Because the Eastern League has seven teams, and they've got, and this isn't the Eastern League doing it. This isn't the NPB doing it, but the Eastern League are primarily led by the Giants and the Marines back when Bobby was here, basically got together and said, what can we do to get more games? So they have interleague games. I mean, they have games against the Western League. That makes up some of the shortfall. They have games against colleges and corporate league teams. They have futures games. They have games that are available because there's seven teams. They'll take teams that aren't playing on a given day and put together like a pickup team to play one of the teams, the team that doesn't have a game.
Right, they mix and match, yeah.
Yeah, so they've got all these schemes in the Eastern League, and it's not because NPB said, well, we want the Eastern League to be better. It's like the Eastern League has more, I think they've got more smarts, the Giants and the Marines who did with the driving forces behind this, realized that the number of minor league games leads to quality.
Right. Well, yeah, hopefully we can, in the future, obviously with the players are going to sit around and moan about the fact that foreigners are there, they took our jobs. Then they're not going to move forward, but hopefully they can figure out some way to get more games. I mean, Bobby Valentine always talked about this. He championed the expansion of the minor league system and more games and more players. And just expansion overall to make sure that there's so much opportunity for guys to play that it creates more interest. And then you take, you don't lose good athletes to sports like soccer or basketball or whatever. You get some of these guys staying in baseball, sticking with it, getting an opportunity to play and develop. And I think it was mostly about develop, not necessarily getting games for guys to get an opportunity, but more or less getting guys games to get experience and see what they have to do and see how they have to compete to stay on the field or be on the field or compete with better players and how much they have to get better or how hard they have to work. So, yeah, hopefully something can be done. I look forward to it. I hope it's a challenge that they take on instead of back away from.
Now, what are you, going back to, to more concrete terms, what do you see in the fighters? Look into your forecaster's glasses or whatever it is, those glasses you wear that can enlighten us. Us
other people. You know, I was ready to say, and before this weekend series with the Hawks, I was ready to say, I think they have the staying power and I really think they can compete in the postseason because looking at the team, yeah, they're winning some games here in the regular season. And there's one other thing is I've been complaining, sort of. I've been saying, you know, I thought SoftBank was going to be better and blah, blah, blah. You know, they're 20 games over 500. They're not bad. Mm-hmm. And Oryx is about 20 games over 500. And they're not bad. But the other teams are struggling on a daily basis, and the Fighters are one of them because I think they just don't have the pitching. And so if you look at this team, it can compete in the regular season and win some games, but I think when it comes to the postseason, if you're going to be sticking guys like Shohei Ohtani out there as your ace, I think it's safe to say he's their top pitcher right now. He's their winningest pitcher. He's got the most complete games. He's got a bunch of strikeouts. I think they're playing him less in the field now and trying to make him concentrate or maybe concentrate him on pitching because that's where they're weak. Naoyuki Uwasawa, the big right-hander, and he's big. He's bigger than I thought he was when I first saw him up close. I'm like,
Uwasawa?
Wow. Yeah, Uwasawa is bigger than I thought he was. He didn't look that big on TV. And then Urano, I think those are the three top pitchers, and those guys would be going if they were to play in a playoff series tomorrow. Those would be the three guys who would start. And I just don't, see that. I don't see Takeda.
Yeah, if they got to go to five games, they're going to need more than three guys.
Yeah, that first series, though, would be three. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, so what do I see? I think they have the power and the ability, and especially if Abreu or Miranda or somebody steps up behind the at the plate, could be Atsunori Inaba. We saw him come back this weekend and even get a little bloop hit that helped them win their only game in that series. But, I think they're playoff worthy, but I don't think they're playoff series winning worthy.
Okay. I think, they're almost the epitome of a 500 team. The only thing that would, you know, if you look at what they've done at the plate, what their opponents have done against them at the plate, it's like a mirror.
Yeah.
You know, the exception being that, I guess the only real exception being that the Fighters are a better base stealing team than their opponents have been.
Mm-hmm.
They're okay at stealing bases, and they've been okay at adequate at preventing stolen bases. So there's a little gap there, but otherwise, and now of course the thing is, if you're a 500 team in the Pacific League, it means you're not going to break into the top two because the Pacific League as a whole is better than a 500 league because of interleague. They could conceivably overtake the Buffaloes or the Hawks, I guess. But what I see is also this. When I look at the team, especially the batters, I see a lot of guys who are really having lousy seasons.
Yeah. Well, I see a lot of young guys. They've been obviously they've had some trouble. They've had some injuries. They've had to move guys around. I mean, you look at their third baseman and their first baseman, and these are guys we didn't expect to be playing at those positions this year, at least today, with Nishikawa and Kondo. So, I mean,
well, Well, Nishikawa is actually a really good hitter, and right now he's not hitting anywhere near what he's capable of. I wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, hit 360 or 370 the rest of the season. You know, these are the kind, you know, basically they haven't really hit, to be honest, other than Obiki hitting in the beginning of the season and actually playing defense, which is like something the Oryx Buffalo is all. He could talked about how he might. But otherwise, no. And my young Daikon has not had. He's also been hurt, and he hasn't had the greatest of seasons. And Sho Nakata he's more or less where we expect. But I would say, other than him, the fighters really have underperformed offensively. I think it could be a fluke, in the sense that it's just sort of a statistical glitch that the first half of the season so many guys were under, and that they could just sort of regress back towards the mean and, you know, towards their normal ability and have a much better second, you know, final month and a half just through things evening out a little bit. So I think that is something that's going well. They don't have, on the other hand, they don't have any real weaknesses. I mean, the bullpen, although Crota went down today as well. I think he had a strain of some sort.
Yeah, rib cage, yeah.
Okay. So, but I think their bullpen is, you know, it's competitive. It's not, you know, it's not like other teams are looking at the fighters and saying, which guys can we pry away from them this winter? But, It'll you know, they can be competitive.
Yeah.
So are they a playoff caliber team? The answer is yes. Are they a playoff, you know, a championship team? And I'd have to say the answer is no.
Yeah. Yep.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they don't make the playoffs. But I'd give them a good chance to do that. So, but I don't see them finishing first or second.
Okay.
Unless they need, you know. They have to put Otani in the lineup 3 days a week, and he starts hitting a ton. And of course, he's another guy who hasn't hit very well this year.
Yeah.
I say that, you know, in the fact that he's actually hit quite well.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck to them, and thanks again for going out and getting the interview. And thank you very much to Mitchell or Michelle Abreu, whatever we want to call him. All right. Let's talk about the top rookies.
Whatever he wants people.
Let's talk about the top rookies now. I don't know. I think the list, I thought initially the list was kind of short in the Central League, and then when I started putting it together, it's actually pretty long. But the front runner is Daichi Osada of the Carp, the right-handed starter, and he came out like gangbusters, and he's kind of, I wouldn't even say hit the skids. He just hasn't been as impressive as he was in the first part of the season. He's been giving up a lot of runs early in games. But he pitched fairly well on Saturday at Tokyo Dome and had one bad inning, and that was it. And they ended up losing the game. But he's a good young arm. He's got good command. It looks like he's going to remain a quality pitcher, maybe even an ace at one point for the Carp. So I think he's at the front for me.
Not for me.
Ryuji Ichioka, another Carp pitcher. He's a reliever. He made a huge impact, but he got hurt.
Yep.
And I still think he has a chance to help the Carp get out of the doldrums that they've been in since Interleague. But
well, my knock against Ichioka is nothing to do with his quality, but only the amount of playing time.
Right, playing time, yeah. Yeah, that slowed him down a little bit. Then there's a left-handed pitcher with the Dragons, Tatsuro Hamada, who came out of nowhere, basically. He's probably what Yuki Matsui, we thought he was going to be. You know, a guy who pitches every week, takes his turn in the rotation, isn't great, isn't terrible, strikes out some batters, has some success once in a while, and I think that's what Hamada has been for the Dragons, although
having said that, I think we saw the real Yuki Nishi Yuki Matsui the other day, so.
Yeah, there's too many Yukis, we gotta change some of these guys' names. I call him Matsuyu now anyway, so Matsuyu would be Matsuyuki. Yeah, he pitched really well the other day, pitching to the game, he wasn't able to keep the runs off the board when it mattered, but overall he had a quality start. That is probably I tweeted it was the best start of his life, and he ends up losing the game. So
then, even Hoshino said that it was the best game he's seen him pitch.
Yeah.
In fact, it was. He said it was one of the
He saw some of the best stuff he's ever seen, actually, which was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But of course, then he says, well, you walk so bad, you can't give a home run to the next batter.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see that. You got to figure out why you gave up that home run, son. Yeah, right. Because I made a bad pitch. Then now it gets interesting because I still think there are three guys who are in the running. One is Katsuki Matayoshi of the Dragons. He's a reliever, and he's pitched a lot of innings for the Dragons. I think he's actually helped steady the bullpen with Takuya Asao being iffy, if not downright useless because he's been out. This is the former MVP, Mr. Asao. So I think Matayoshi's been really good. Yutaro Umeno of the Tigers, the catcher, he's not hitting a lot in terms of average, but he's gotten some important hits and looks like he's going to be good eventually. And I give weight to that when I'm going to make the pick.
I wouldn't give any weight to that.
Well, I don't think he's going to get it, so I don't think it's a big deal. But if he were to be even with somebody, I would say I think this guy has more long-term staying power. And I'd go with him. But then there's also Koji Fukutani of the Dragons, who, as a relief pitcher, again, he leads in hold points. And the hold points in Japan are holds and wins as a result of holds. Yeah. And so he's been up and down. He throws hard. Sometimes he leaves a fastball up and it gets whacked, and sometimes he gets it up high enough that people can't get on top of him. So he's not bad. He's a candidate for sure. I don't think he's going to win, but I think it gets interesting there.
That's interesting. I hadn't considered a couple of those guys. The guys I actually I think the Central League list isn't that long, and I was actually surprised. You know what strikes me about this year is that there were guys last year who didn't get a single vote in the Rookie of the Year award who would win it this year. You know, if you had Tetsuto Yamada from the Swallows playing this year,
yeah,
he'd be the Rookie of the Year. I mean, and Sugano, of course, who finished second, who I did vote for the Rookie of the Year, was a quality guy. Well, Ohtani, I'm not certain, but a lot of those guys,
yeah,
would be, especially in the Central League, I guess, where the Central League was, Sugano and Ogawa were really good candidates. I thought Yamada wasn't compared to them, but this year I think Yamada would be the best of the bunch.
Definitely.
So anyway, my list, actually my favorite in the Central League, you didn't even mention, who's Kosuke Tanaka of Hiroshima.
Yeah, and I looked at him, but I didn't like the number of games played, and I didn't like the overall numbers, but he certainly has the potential.
He's done vastly more than Umeno, and he plays the middle infield. So, I think to me, I don't see anybody in the Central League who's really that being said, I think the recently the trend has been to give a lot of credit to middle relievers. Actually, I think Fukutani is probably the best bet in the Central League to win it. That's the guy who, if I was a betting person, I would probably bet on.
Really?
But, yeah.
Huh. No, I would think Oseta is going to get it, and it's
not
still
with,
his.
Not with a 4.3. You know, he's going to have to do a lot better than
he's going to have to
I
do
think
better.
If it ended right now, Fukutani would be the guy.
I would disagree
but
with that.
My guy would be Tanaka, and, and the Pacific League, I think we do kind of have a runaway candidate in the Pacific League.
You go ahead and do your Pacific League first.
Well, having said that, I think we have solid candidates in the Pacific League.
Okay.
I only see one batter in the Pacific League who, on the condition that he played every day and played as well as he could, as in better than he has already. So Shohei Kato of Lotte, as much as I like you, forget it. Won't happen.
No.
But the three guys I see in the Pacific League are Ayumu Ishikawa of Lotte, 113 and a third innings, 3.10 ERA. Lotte, that's pretty good numbers.
Yeah.
Compared to a guy who has a higher ERA and fewer innings for the Fighters, Naoyuki Uesawa.
Right.
The third guy is an interesting one, and who's, again, following that category of this guy's 40 games, 19 saves, 18 holds, a 2-and-run record, a 1.83 ERA, is Tomomi Takahashi of the Lions.
Yeah, Yeah, that's true.
So any of those three could win it. This is going to be real interesting because I think they're three candidates that are not that far apart.
Well, I really like Ishikawa. I have Uesawa there because he had a really good start. But I mean, Ishikawa has been more steady.
Ishikawa has gotten better.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, I think what happens a lot with the Rookie of the Year voting is it's so complicated to know who qualifies.
Yes.
You don't actually search, and it's usually, now they mail out these ballots for the voting. You have about 10 days to fill them out. Mm-hmm. And that's when they tell you all the qualified candidates. They give you a list of every qualified candidate for Rookie of the Year. And I would guess that, you know, people like, if Kato was having a good year, he wouldn't get a single vote. Just like Tetsuto Yamada didn't get a single vote last year, probably because when the guys voted for Rookie of the Year,
mm-hmm.
he wasn't in their minds a rookie.
Right.
Because he was in his, you know, he was in his third year. But, and then they get the ballot and they're basically looking for the guys that, you know, they're ready to mark off the guys they know are rookies who they want to win. Of course, last year, he wouldn't have won anyway. He was deserving of a vote. He might have been, but you only get one vote for Rookie of the Year. It's not a first, second, third thing. So, he probably wasn't deserving.
Well, we have to move along, but I agree. And I think the teams need to do a better job of saying or promoting their rookies. I think, the league can take some responsibility, but I think the team, if it steps up and says, hey, how about this rookie? This is pretty great. You know, look at this guy.
Lotte did that last year with Nishino.
Yeah. All right, we got to move along. So I wanted to talk about Shuichi Murata since he finally got his 300th home run. He hit it the other day in a tie, a game that ended in a 2-2 tie. And my question is, where do we place him among sluggers? Now, I know he was the 40th player to reach 300, so that's kind of an exclusive milestone. But he comes with a lot of buts. multiple butts.
Wow. Okay, so you discuss butts.
All right. he's got the 300 home runs, but he's only hit 30 plus home runs three times, and he did that three consecutive seasons, 06, 07, and 08, and his career high was 48 in 08. And yes, he's a 300 home run hitter, but he spent 9 years in Yokohama, which you and I know is an extreme hitter's park, where he should have been actually more productive, and I'm sure he mostly frustrated a lot of Bay Stars fans. So yes, he's a 300 home run hitter, but he's a weird, weird slugger because this is a guy who has more home runs than he does doubles in his career. In fact, if you add the doubles and the triples, he's got the 300 home runs. He's by six home runs. He's got more in that category than he does the other two put together.
Well, you asked me that question. You know, when where does he stand among the all time great? You know, he stands with him when he buys a ticket to get admittance. He basically, it's just fortuitous. I'm working on a project and I put all the hitters in Japanese baseball history into a single context, which is 2013 NPB. So basically, as much as I can estimate how a player would hit in the current offensive levels with the current ball in a 144 game season. Okay. So, if you discount, and essentially anybody whose their big years came in the 80s and 90s are going to take a huge cut.
Mm-hmm.
And Murata's total, by that analysis, would have started the season with 239 home runs in his career.
Mm.
That's what his home runs are worth, you know, compared. Now, where does that place him? And the answer is nowhere. It places him among hitters. So the answer is no. Now, and John basically said it all, that his career numbers were wildly inflated by Yokohama and then going to Tokyo and playing with a very lively ball. So is he a historically great player? No.
Yeah.
Not anywhere as near.
Yeah, he's a career 269 hitter, and he'll likely get to 1,000 RBIs. He has 1,480 hits, and he turns 34 this year. So if he plays till he's 40, he might reach 2,000 hits, but I really look at him as a career underachiever, and I'm not sure how long he's going to last with the Giants the way he's producing at this rate. So let's talk about the top.
Wait, I thought he learned how to be a high average hitter last year, everybody was saying.
Hey, he had some great moments. He had some great moments.
He changed everything. He's going to be a high average hitter the rest. He's going to be a 350 hitter the rest of his career. I must have read that wrong then when everybody was shouting about what a great average hitter he'd become.
The only thing I said was that he
Not you.
The only thing I said about him last year was that he earned the right to get some MVP votes because he came up with some big hits and he has improved his defense. But if we don't get up and get to the next topic, we will go over and get the producer very angry. So let's quickly, in the next 2 minutes here, talk about the top performers of July. On the batting side, I found some numbers, and I think Kazuhiro Wada of the Dragons hit .397. He had 7 home runs and 21 RBIs, but I don't think he's the guy for the Central League with the bat. Yeah, who are you going to go with, though?
Well, I like Wada. I also liked Yoshihiro Maru.
Yeah. Plus,
I mean, I know it doesn't matter, but he went five for five as a base stealer. And, I mean, you could look at, I mean, Yoshitomo Tsutsugu had a tremendous month as well. But, again, and you know, there's that too.
Yeah, I like Marta actually because he got on base at what?
Yeah, I like Marta. Yes, plus he's a Gold Glove center. He's a Gold Glove center fielder. I mean, my gosh, what do you got to do to form my guy Yamada as well? You know, I mean, well, any of those guys. I mean, but Wada, you know, you have to know he hit .397. So basically, if you hit .400, they're going to give you the award regardless how many people you go out and knife in your days off. So .397, they're thinking, well, you know, he's a nice old lady. Give it to him. Doesn't matter what anybody else does.
Get rid of all the competition. Okay. All right. So in the Pacific League, Ernesto Mejia has just been red hot. He had a couple of home runs on Sunday. I think he's actually going to get the award because of that gaudy the power that he's put out. He had the 8 home runs and 16 RBIs, but I think it's the home runs. But Yoshio Itoi, .377 with 3 homers and 12 RBIs, but he was getting on base at a .515.
Yeah. I mean, my gosh, .515. Where are these people looking at?
Yeah.
They'll go, well, you know, he hit well, so that's going to help him. Again, great defense. I don't see any, you know, for me, it's hard to say Wada isn't a better player, but, I might still go with Wada. I mean, yeah, 21 RBIs, can't sneeze at that.
All right, real quick, the pitchers, Central League.
The Central League. Wow, too many. I might want to go with Kubo.
Yeah, Kubo was up there. Kubo was up there in Iwata. It's either one of those two. Minoru Iwata of the Hanshin Tigers.
Yeah, I like Kubo. Let's make it 3 base stars in 3 months. We had Yamaguchi. What did we have? We had Ino, Yamaguchi, and now it'll be Kubo. 3 straight base stars as pitcher of the month. And for the Pacific League, it's a tough selection because the only guy with 3 wins in the Pacific League is Kaneko, and he was hurt.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking,
Shohei Ohtani.
Why not give it to the guy with the ERA under 1?
Yeah. Oh, under 1. Oh, who would that be?
Isn't that Ohtani?
All right. Yeah, well, Ohtani sounds good to me.
He pitched 29 innings. So, I mean, that's the thing. Kaneko went 3-0. Ohtani was 2-0. But 29 innings versus 21 22 innings, 0.93 ERA versus 1.64. But NPV being NPV, you know Kaneko's going to win because he's got the 3 wins.
Right. All right. So you heard it here first. Thanks a lot for listening. Any questions you have, please send to ykyujohn@gmail.com or hit us up on the Facebook page. Leave us a comment there. Thanks a lot for listening to the end, and we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
Okay, talk to you next week, guys.
One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.